Hey everyone, welcome back to our live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. Today we've got the full crew back together, which is the first time it's happened in a while, so it's really awesome. Let's go first to our long-lost other Chase, who is back and rocking the flannel. So Chase Livingston, how are you?
I'm great. Glad to be here. Glad to be back.
And then the other fellow gentleman that's rocking the flannel as well, Jeff Vincent, how is things in Wistia world?
Oh, things in Wistia world are great. And I just want to say before we start the show that I audited some of my performance from last week, and I will not be trying to be active in the Slack room whilst being on the show. So if people want to talk about something, just like at message me or whatever on Slack. But last time, there's a lot of like blank stares and a lot of just like dead silence for 5 seconds while I read and talk.
It's okay. Let me worry about it. That's my role. I'll make sure you get the good questions and all. And then certainly, last and certainly not least, our very favorite, Carolyn from over at Buffer. How are you?
I'm great. I think I need to buy a flannel shirt just for this, just for Mondays.
It's true. We need to like have a designated flannel shirt day.
I think it's Monday.
Oh, all right. So this week we're talking about, we're going to take a little bit of a look at your work life. You know, we talk about a lot of like good support ideas around the show, you know, how you can do this, how you can do that, how you can help customers do this and all that kind of fun stuff. But we want to take a step back for just a minute and look at you in a little bit more detail. A lot of times with, I was going to say tech startups, but a lot of like young companies in general, you're working crazy hours. You're working, you know, 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, and there's barely enough time to like breathe, much less, you know, have a life outside of work. And then like, you know, especially in the tech world, if you come up against a new like app version that has to be released or some other big deadline, then the hours just get crazier. So this week we're going to look at how you balance the time that you spend at work versus everything else going on in your life. If you've been in the business world for a while, you've probably heard the phrase work-life balance. It's basically the same kind of idea. I think it gets a little bit more intense when it comes to tech companies just because a lot of us work from home, so it's literally your computer's always within reach. You can work whatever hours you want all the time. So we just want to make sure that you aren't like going crazy in your work life. So let's start with Carolyn first over at Buffer. Buffer's still, you know, I talk about Buffer being a startup. You've been around for a while. You're not new kids on the block. But I definitely remember when I first met you, y'all were working some crazy, crazy hours. So what was it like when you know, you first started with Buffer? And did you have like those 60, 70-hour work weeks?
Yeah. When I started at Buffer, I started working nights and weekends, because I still had a different job and, because they were just so desperate for somebody that, I didn't feel like I could say, okay, I'll see you in 3 weeks. So I kind of got into the habit of that. And so when I started full time, I just worked all the time, including nights and weekends, mostly because we just needed it. It was one other support person and myself. And then we got a third, we got Osa, and things slowed down a little bit. And then Alyssa left, and so then it was two again, doing the job of like three or four. So, when we started through probably about a year, it was sort of all the time. It was pretty rare to take a whole weekend day off for the first year or so.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, like I said, I remember when I first met you, it was like football season or something. So I might be like online answering a couple of emails while I'm watching a game on a Saturday, and you were always online. I was like, wow, you never sleep, basically. It's absolutely insane.
I slept, yeah, we would always work and still do. I mean, we just have a bigger team doing it now, so we have somebody specifically who works weekends on purpose, right, as opposed to us just doing it in addition to our other 5 days.
So do you think, you know, you mentioned that it kind of started out as nights and weekends because you had your other job and that kind of became habit. How did you start working yourself out of that habit and getting back more towards a sane, like, let's not work Saturday night at like 10 o'clock at night.
Also,
can I just point out, you're probably the only person who was like, yeah, I work 70-hour weeks, and you say it with a laugh and a smile. That's buffer craziness right there.
Oh, well, you know, I loved it. And I was also getting paid a lot more than I had ever gotten paid before. So that, don't ever let anybody tell you that that doesn't affect things, because it does. Yeah, you know, it just came down to hiring for us. And we had the, we solved it necessarily the right way, which is that we were lucky enough to have the resources to hire more people. I know that not everybody has that option. So for the people who have to figure out how to do it and to have a life and not burn out, I don't have great advice for that. We hired a bunch of people in a short amount of time. And now we're kind of back in that stage, because we haven't hired anybody in a year. I'm focusing a whole lot of my time on hiring right now. And we're starting to feel that feeling again of like, oh, we don't really have enough people. We're not really doing it. So, you know, everybody's starting to work longer hours and checking in on the weekend and sort of playing that game again. So, I know that there's better options other than hiring or in addition to hiring that I'm excited to explore as well, including, you know, other people on the team playing a bigger role, solving issues faster. You know, there's 1,000 things that contribute to support numbers that have nothing to do with how many people are on the team or how hard you're working. But I think for us, primarily, we've just tried to grow the team, and that works when we're on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. First off, let me just, as a side note here, Dana said in the Slack room, and it's absolutely true, you know, getting paid more, it's okay to work more hours because you're like, oh, there's money. My first job, I went from managing a barbecue restaurant for a little bit more than minimum wage to a nice salary gig over at a bigger fast casual restaurant and basically doubled my hours. I was working 60, 70 hours a week, but I was like, oh, this is more money than I know what to do with. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how it is. So Chase, when it comes to automatic, you know, obviously the automatic team size is not as big of a factor in how much you work as say a smaller company would be. But with automatic being completely remote, is there ever like, do you feel a lot of pressure being remote? Just, you know, the laptop sitting right there, I could jump in, answer a couple of questions, that kind of thing. Like, do you feel that pressure on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, definitely, you know, still do. And especially when I was, you know, first getting started there, that was a constant thing to have to deal with just because, you know, number one, I enjoy it so much that it's, you know, something I like to do. And, you know, I look forward to getting up and working every day. And so especially in the beginning, my wife was kind of eventually like, okay, it's time to put the laptop down and actually carry on a conversation with me or let's go have dinner or something like that, because I know you love your new job and I'm thankful for it, but we have a marriage here and kind of have to work on that. So, you know, that's definitely something.
Good for her.
Yeah, exactly. She's a keeper, I tell you. That was definitely something when I got started that I had to learn. And I think I've gotten a lot better about that now and learned that, you know, there are certain times that are, you know, designated for work. And then, you know, when I get home in the afternoon or the evening or whatever, you know, just put the laptop away and, you know, spend some time at home being at home and not working. That's definitely something that automatic encourages. They're not, you know, trying to ask me to work 70 hours a week or something. I'm sure that there would probably be enough work for all of us to do that, but, you know, they also understand and we as a company understand that it's important to, you know, have a life and have a family and that kind of thing. So, I'm definitely thankful for that as well.
Yeah. So Jeff, you know, Jeff and Wistia is kind of cool because you've got like everyone coming into the office. So, you know, if you're the last one out of the office, it's, you know, like 8, 9 o'clock at night and there's still people on your team around, are you like pushing them to leave or are you like encouraging them to get out? Or are you just like sitting down and it's like, yeah, let's keep working kind of thing?
I think it depends. It's very, as long as it's cyclical or it's like, you know, specific work. So like right now we're prepping for Wistia Fest, which is a conference that we've only put on once. So it's not like we have really had a lot of practice, and the marketing team has been working like super hard on getting all the details just right. But they kind of created the work for themselves, right? Like, they set a super high bar, and they introduced a lot of details to it. Now they're working really hard for it, and I think it's going to feel really great when it goes off without a hitch. If it's a support team member, and they're working because I didn't do a good enough job of hiring, right? Or because, you know, we have some processes that leave them feeling like they can't contribute, so they have to be there late just to be able to feel like they're contributing. That's more of a problem for me. It has happened in the past. It happened earlier this year, actually. We got way behind in terms of hiring, and we were just trying to solve everything the same way we'd always solved it. And so people were there late, like you said, like 9 o'clock. And it wasn't just like, oh, you know, this happens once a year where it's, I just have to put in the hours to get this thing done. It was like, we don't really see the way out of this, the immediate way out of this. That's a problem. That's where I'm trying to get myself a little bit more involved. If I see somebody who's brand new and they're just there late because they want to feel like they're contributing, I'm probably shooing them out the door for sure. Even if it's just after dinner time, I don't like feeling like I don't particularly like when I'm like the last person, when I'm the last person out and there's just one other person sitting in the dark doing work by themselves. I don't think nobody really loves to do that, I don't think.
I love the idea of you shooing somebody out with like a broom. That's just how I pictured it in my head. Like, you've got a broom and you're just going to like shooing at that point, like grandma trying to get rid of a mouse or something from the kitchen.
Yeah, right. Well, it's not quite like that, but I will say something like, why are you here? Get out of here. And I know how it is. I mean, everybody likes to work a little different. I personally really do like it when it's really quiet and there's no one around to distract me, because I get distracted easily, as you can probably tell. But at the same time, if someone's feeling like that's a way to get ahead, right, like that's exactly the kind of culture that I want to prevent creating, is the idea that the only way to get good feedback or to be a contributing member is to be the last one in the office and to wear that like a badge of pride. And I do think that gets set by leadership also. Mm-hmm. So I think that you just have to be very cognizant of it. So no broom, but definitely try to encourage people to get out.
Yeah, that was one of those where I remember back in high school, I was a band geek, played in the marching band and all that. And I remember the director kind of drumming it into everybody that they should be, you know, that if you see your section leader still there, then you should be there. You should be rehearsing more than your section leader. So if your section leader gets there at 7, then you should be there at 6. And if they leave at 7, you should leave at 8. So that kind of mentality. Scott had a good question from the chat room, and we'll go to Chase Livingston on this one. Chase, how do you know how many hours is too much? I know like your average work week, 40 hours, we all kind of tend to go with that one. But some of us, you know, an average work week might be 35, it might be 45, 50, that kind of thing. So how do you know how many hours of work is just too much?
I think one of the big things is just trying to make sure that you're not feeling burned out, or like what the work you're doing is like become a chore or something like that you feel like you aren't enjoying anymore. Because a lot of that, I think, is the reason that most or many of us are, you know, in these careers or these jobs that we have, is because we enjoy doing it. So if you're getting burned out or you just, you know, it just doesn't seem the same anymore, I would definitely first look at, you know, how many hours a week you're working and how much time and things like that you're spending on the job. And also, you know, look at how you're balancing the work with your, you know, regular life. Are you, you know, only having time one night a week maybe to go out with friends and do something? Or, you know, do you have time to enjoy, you know, your friends, your family, that kind of thing? Because if you don't have time for them, then that's another great reason that you're working to say that you're working too many hours. And if you're not burned out already, that's probably going to happen soon.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those where, like you point out with your wife, when she's dragging you on a date night or that kind of thing, like that's a good sign. You're probably working too much.
For sure.
So, Carolyn, you know, I want to kind of loop back to what you brought up briefly earlier. You know, we had talked about how when you're in a crunch on tickets, it's easy to kind of like get some more breathing room just by hiring on more people, adding more people, and that kind of thing. What are some of the other ways you're looking at with a buffer team to kind of give you that same breathing room without hiring somebody? Because like you said, some teams might not have the money to hire somebody.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that we do this all that well. I know that this is sort of Jeff's baby cause. I'll share a few of the things that we've done. On sort of a support specific level, like what somebody who doesn't have resources or support from the rest of the team can do. There's static resources that you can create. What we've tried to do is, we've added just a form, like a banner to our support form, so that if there's something crazy going on, we can say, this is going on, we know about it, you don't have to report it, unless you want to, of course, then like we'll reply to you specifically. So that has helped a little bit when there's some crazy stuff going on, like if something's just broken, or if we're, you know, we hit our quota for Google Plus and so we can't post anymore, like that's the kind of thing. It's not so much a bug, it's more just like letting people know that we know about it, so that they don't feel like they have to report it. We did some customer development on sort of our support, and what we found is that oftentimes people, they just want us to know. They don't care about being the one to report it, and they don't care about having the follow-up. They just think, well, if I don't report it, maybe they won't know about it. And seeing that we know is, when people say, oh, I didn't really care about reporting it. I just wanted to see if it was just happening for me or if it was happening for everybody. So things like that, on sort of a team-wide level, we've tried to close the gap a little bit between the engineers and the support team. So bringing a little bit more ownership over the experience for the developers. So I think as a team at Buffer, we tend to swing between two extremes, and we are always reacting to the previous swing. So we swing between the engineers are so focused on the experience and they jump on every bug immediately and like just solve everything really fast and maybe don't have a chance to build new stuff or really dream and get into the zone. They just kind of like help us. And then the other extreme is that they just build new stuff and don't really circle back too much on the bugs. And we just tend to end up apologizing a lot. And neither of those is ideal, but if you're at one end of the spectrum, then sometimes it can be a company-wide conversation. A lot of times, I assume that the engineers know that we're drowning, but they don't always know. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, hey, we need to have a conversation about, the culture, the engineering culture here, and, what we feel is the engineering culture, and if like making sure that product quality is at the top of the list, and if it isn't, then we have to have a conversation about that. And if it is, then we're not doing that. So those are some of the things that we've done. But again, I don't know that we do it that well. So that's only taken a little bit off the top each time. It doesn't really solve the challenge so much.
Yeah, I think one of those, like so many of our episodes, it's one of those where when you have a problem, here's going to be a myriad of ways that you're going to address it. There's not one silver bullet, If you've got tons of the same kind of bug coming in, tons of tickets about that bug, talking to your dev team to fix that is obviously going to give you a little bit more breathing room, but it's not going to be the only thing. It's going to be a combination of that and hiring and the other things that we're going to talk about. So with Jeff, I didn't know this was a baby cause. I guess I'm out of the loop on this one. But so kind of same question over you with Wistia. Like, what do you do besides hire people? And we're going to pull out Carolyn's answer, so you can't just be like, yeah, that too.
I got to know what Carolyn, what she was driving at, because I feel like I want to answer it, but I don't – want to do my normal 5-minute answer. So maybe Carolyn, you could just tell me more of what you meant, and I'll just expand on that.
I just mean your favorite graph.
Oh yeah, sure. No, right. Yeah. Okay. So I think what Carolyn was getting at was that we would prefer proactive support, right, and a reduction in the total number of tickets to just, well, every time there's more tickets, we just got to hire another person. We've been doing about that as well, especially Automattic would be an interesting example to get with this, and I guess Buffer, but it's kind of a different business model in that, like, we have a free tier. This is just an example. We have a free tier, and when we were launching the free tier, it was like, you know, they're going to be a great referral channel. They're going to be, potential customers. Like, we should just give them the best. When it comes to support, we should just be giving them the best, because that's how you turn them into customers and into advocates. And now as things have gone on, it's like the total free base is like 10 times the size of our paid customer base. And at what point do you start to say, like, well, you know, most of them don't actually turn into customers. And after, you know, this length of time as a free customer, they never turn into a paid customer. And should we have a different service level and expectations for those free customers? So I think, I guess what I would say at a high level is, like, you have to... You can't do the thing where the only tool you have is a hammer, right? And that the only way you solve any problem is, like, go back to the well and do whatever it is, right? Like, whether it's hiring or it's, like, turning off support for certain groups, like, you can't just keep going back to that well. But what I do think you need to do is have a strategy in place, like, know what the experience is that you're going for, know what the overall service level, like, if you could describe it, to your customers and to your team, you're describing that, and then they're able to come to you with ideas, right? Because, like, our customer happiness team knows an awful lot more about the state of the inbox and the biggest issues that we have even than I do, right? And they're able to say something like, man, it, you know, just feels like we spend an awful lot of our day when we get underwater. It's with free customers. That's actually what they say. But, like, if they came to you and they said something like that, we would talk about whether, you know, free support is valuable. And if so, like, if not, like, when we should cut it off. So, I think what Carolyn was getting at is that there's a bunch of different ways to solve, to skin the cat of volume is growing, what should we do? And we've solved it with proactive support, with changes in our service level, with hiring new people for sure, and then with internal processes around efficiency too.
Yeah, that's one of those where if you're spending an extra 10, 15 hours on the weekend just helping free customers, is that the best use of your time? Or should you be out, like, I don't know, like last weekend with a holiday weekend, like actually spending some time with family rather than just people who are free users that probably aren't going to, like Jeff mentioned, that aren't going to advance the brand, be an advocate, or contribute any to that relationship?
Yeah, I think the other thing that's been tough for us to get over is that, or it can be, I think, tough to get over, I won't speak for everyone, but is that, you know, when you provide a lot of support, you think very highly of support. I think very highly of people who spend all their time helping in service of others. Like, that's a very noble cause. It's a big deal. But it isn't the only piece to a total experience, mm-hmm. right? So if you're relying on support to overcome a crappy product, right, and you're working 70 hours just to get through that, you want to know that there's an end state, right? Like, if you're doing support 70 hours a week because you don't know how else to, anything less than that wouldn't be considered, like, contributing to the team, and you see no changes in that, like, you need, like, there's a deeper underlying problem that you need to be tackling. We certainly encourage people to take the weekend off. We have the autoresponder in place. We've probably covered that in a previous episode, but I want people to work super hard when they're doing support, but not to think that that's, like, the only way that they can provide any value to the team.
All right, so that was kind of some of the things I had outlined for like the first half. Now I want to shift gears a little bit and look at kind of what we were talking about with Jeff shooing people out of the office. Like, what things are we doing as a company, your companies anyways, to encourage people to get out of the office, to take breaks and things like that. So we'll start with Chase Livingston. Does Automatic have any, you know, a lot of times we hear about people tracking like paid time off, that kind of thing. And sometimes you hear about companies recently, like, it's not paid time off necessarily. It's like, you need to take off at least this many days. We don't care how many you take off, but at least take off like 2 weeks out of the year. So how does Automatic handle that? How do they encourage you to actually take some time away from cases and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so like probably a lot of companies and maybe like all of ours here, we don't have like a maximum number, obviously. One thing, we don't have necessarily a minimum number, but when, you know, new hires come on or whatever, one of the things that's encouraged for everybody is to take at least 20 to 25 days maybe off every year, just so, you know, you can obviously rest, relax, be with family, that kind of thing. And so, you know, for the most part, that I think that gives people a lot of freedom, and from what at least the folks I've worked with directly and the people that I know, we, you know, generally try to take advantage of that and, you know, maybe take a lot of time off at Christmas or something like that, a couple weeks, you know, around Christmas and New Year's to be with family. And, you know, another great, I guess, policy we have is, you know, obviously we offer maternity leave for new mothers, but Automatic also has a great paternity leave for new fathers. So, you know, a lot of new dads take maybe 3 months off when they have a child born, which is great. And, you know, we're, you know, obviously encouraged to do that. Usually HR sends a nice little gift package for the new child and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's definitely something that's encouraged and seems to work pretty well. So while we don't have, you know, a paid vacation plan like some companies do, it's still there's still some other great ways that Automatic as a company encourages us to focus on, you know, ourselves and our well-being and that kind of thing.
Yeah, speaking of paid vacations, that's something Buffer just started doing. So, Carolyn, can you kind of walk us through why the Buffer team thought it was important to start offering those kind of, you know, we're going to give you X amount of dollars, go take a vacation?
Yeah, I think we had sort of created this culture where, you know, we have the sort of loose unlimited vacation policy, which I think is pretty well known in the tech world as then meaning nobody takes vacation ever.
Which we
had observed that. So, you know, people take a day here, a day there, and they, you know, maybe go to specific events or holidays. Or travel, but they don't just take vacation. And so what we had sort of ended up with is this culture where, you know, if anybody ever took vacation, they would preface it with, like, if this doesn't work, then I can change it, and I'll be around, and I'll be available, and people ping me with anything, and I'll have my computer, and I'll make sure I have access to Wi-Fi just in case. And, like, we just didn't really have a vacation. Nobody did anything. Nobody took time off. Joel and Leo, did go to, on a vacation, in 2014 and just really had, just came back with a new appreciation for time off, I think. And so they wanted to make sure that people felt not only comfortable, but encouraged to do that. So, starting in 2015, we do, $1,000 for every person at Buffer and $500 for a dependent. So, you know, a single person gets $1,000 and, you know, a family of four gets like $2,500 or something. So, that's been fun to see. So far, not very many people have done it yet, but it's only April, so we'll see. A couple of people have taken it, it's really great when they do it. We're still not over the whole, like, oh, make sure I have Wi-Fi thing. But we're getting there. The thing that I think we haven't solved is holidays that everybody wants to take off. Like, You know, especially it's tricky in the U.S. because everybody except for one person is at this moment on the support team in the U.S. And so, like, Thanksgiving is pretty tough because nobody else around the world cares about that. But we can't very well leave Dave by himself. And even Christmas, you know, even though the volume slows down because the whole world it slows down, still, you know, we still take shifts and, you know, we say, which is more important to you and your family, Christmas Eve or Christmas? And then we split it down the middle and we work. So, yeah, we haven't really solved that one.
Yeah, that's one of those where, as our team grew, we got a little bit more flexible with that too, because obviously, like, everyone wants to take off Christmas, New Year's, right around there. So I think a lot of it is, like, picking a couple of days and being okay with just shutting support down. You know, Christmas Day, shut it down. New Year's Day, shut it down. And again, this it's so much of this depends on, like, your team and your product. Like, with our product, we're dead anyways on Christmas. We might see 15 or 20 cases that day, so nothing big. We can kind of just stop that day. But the days leading up to Christmas and then the days after Christmas into New Year's, those are usually slower days where we can work, you know, maybe like two people for the total day or maybe three or four people for the total day and let the others have time off, that kind of thing. Jeff, you know, you just took a vacation. So what's Wistia's vacation policy look like?
Oh, we've got that unwritten vacation policy. But you know, we were talking about it earlier. I think a lot of this stuff gets set from the top. Right. So if you have the if you have a company policy, like if your CEO gets in front of the company and says, we have a vacation policy. Anyone can take vacation whenever they want. Also, I haven't taken a vacation in 5 years. Like, I'm awesome. Like, no vacation necessary. That I think that's bad. And actually, early on in my Wistia career, there was someone else on the team who would say something like, you know, when you go on vacation, when you go, don't bring your laptop. I mean, when I go on vacation, I bring my laptop. But that's just me. And I think that that's, like, not that it's that different for me. I mean, I when I went on vacation, I had my laptop with me. But I wouldn't say that to a team member. Like, I think that it's just so, it's so person-specific. It's so vacation-specific. A lot of people, when they're with their family, they're like, oh, my God, I would die if I couldn't do a little bit of work. Please don't take that away from me. And other people are saying, like, hey, like, when I'm with my family, that's like out of pocket time. Like, I'm completely out. And all I ask is that people communicate those different levels of being out. Like, if you're out, if you're gonna be out, just say I'm completely out. I will not be answering emails. They might as well just get deleted when you send them. If somebody is going to be delayed, right, then just say, like, I'll just be slower, but I'll be around. It's not a big deal. Because you don't want to, when someone's on vacation, you don't want to be pinging them with emails. Nothing draws people back in more than saying, like, urgent in your support, in your subject line, and then you know they're on vacation. So, yeah, we have that unwritten vacation policy. And the scary thing about that is that when no one tracks it, I could sit here and say a lot of people take vacation. I took a number of vacations last year. Like, I think across the team, we do a pretty good job. But if there was somebody hiding in there that hadn't taken a vacation in 3 years, I wouldn't know about it. I wouldn't actually be able to tell you that. People on my team have, for sure, but there could be somebody across the company that I'm not thinking of that has just been kind of like working, you know, whatever, 20 extra days a year and hasn't been recognized for that or encouraged to take a vacation. That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's one of those. It is absolutely crazy. So this is something we talked about at Basecamp just a couple of weeks ago. I was trying to find the exact Basecamp post where we were talking about it. March 13th, so like a couple of weeks ago. And we kind of sat down and said, you know, we want to have some guidelines. We don't want to have, like, this is exactly how much time you have to take off. This is exactly how much time you get to take off. Because we just think that, you know, those PTO, like paid time off days, that was so frustrating. especially when I was at my last job, you know, you get 20 paid time off days and you have to use those for medical visits and time off. And if you've got to pick up the kid that afternoon and all that kind of craziness, which is just insane. So we didn't want anything set like that, but we didn't want to be one of those tech companies where it's like unlimited vacation, you take it when you need it, and then nobody ever takes it, kind of like we all talked about. So we settled on a couple of guidelines, you know, not necessarily like hard and fast guidelines, just like here's the things that we think are important, here's where we think you should be, you know, taking time and things like that. So just to kind of give everybody an idea, we do 3 weeks paid vacation. During the summer, we do Fridays off, except for support team. Those can be, you know, you still get one day off that week. You're only working 4 days a week for summer hours. A few extra personal days put in there, and then a few national holidays every year. Just, again, because we're an international team, like today I think was a UK bank holiday or something like that. So the UK team didn't work. Whereas, you know, here in the States, we all came to work today. So just kind of keeping that in mind. So all in all, it adds up to about 30, 35 paid time off kind of things. And then to encourage you to take vacation, we do what Buffer does. Every Christmas for the last couple of years, our team members have gotten paid vacations that Basecamp takes care of the planning for. And then, you know, you can just kind of go wherever you want. Like we went to Dublin last year, which was really fun. One of the other things I think Chase Livingston said to make sure I brought this one up, a lot of people probably know, but I was on my sabbatical last month. So what that is, when you've been with Basecamp for 3 years, you get 30 days off just to relax, refresh, recharge, that kind of thing. And I can say that, you know, going 3 years and then having a month off was probably just one of the best things I've ever done, just because it did give me a chance to kind of like get away from a computer for 30 days. Now, not completely away, but not, you know, checking my email and sitting in a computer for 40 hours a week, that kind of thing. So we do that just to encourage you to take time off too. And I think that's one of those where I haven't heard anybody turn down the sabbatical. I guess you could if you wanted to, but like, why? I don't know. Yeah, so that's kind of what we do at Basecamp. And one last thing I'll add before we kind of move on to other stuff. One of the things I was taught growing up was every 7 days, take a day off. Every 7 weeks, take a weekend off. And every 7 months, like take a week, get away, do something. And I think that kind of, you know, pick whatever number you want. But for us, it was, you know, having some kind of set number where we could look and go, oh, it's been like 6-7 months and we haven't really done a vacation. Like that's when you want to kind of get away. So all that to say, don't kind of like just feel your way around vacation stuff and taking time off, like have some kind of general guidelines or plans going forward just to make it a little like just to really make yourself do it. Yeah. So that's my two cents.
I totally agree with that. I think that's wonderful. I've never heard that, but I think another challenge that we have as support folks and managers of support folks is like, what prevents you from feeling like you can take a day off or a vacation, right? It's to me, it's that, that like you don't have a milestone for your progress necessarily like built into support. There is no like, oh, I just shipped a major update. Woof. I worked super hard on that. Like now I'm going to schedule a little break, like right after that release. Right. Or, you know, at Wistia, we have a video team and when they make a super hard push to put out a bunch of content. So they'll work like really late nights, hanging out in the studio and they'll put out 3-4 videos. And then it's like, okay, cool. Like we have a day where we're going to be in the office, but we're not doing anything. Cause we just have that rush of like accomplish something. And I think that not the absence of that can really leave you feeling like I can't take a break. Like somebody's going to catch me or like somebody's going to catch me or I'm not making much of an impact when I'm off as I am when I'm in the office, obviously. And so thinking a little bit about how you can create that for your team, mm-hmm. I think it's a big deal. Like there you just create milestones, right? Like we've been working in a quarter system mm-hmm. and it leaves people feeling like we have these goals and these plans where, I mean, a quarter is, you know, in some ways arbitrary. Like it doesn't really matter that it turned from March to April and now it's Q2, same thing, but we have a different set of goals, a different set of things we're working towards. So trying to create those milestones for people and getting them on projects where they can feel progress might get them in the cadence where vacations are a little bit more accepted, rather than just like every day tickets come in and it's your sole responsibility for answering them. So if you take a day off, you basically screw everyone else. So thanks in advance for that.
Can I add something to that?
Go for it.
I love that idea. I think you're right that that's one of the main challenges behind us not taking vacations, is that you don't ever feel like you've like achieved that thing. Mm-hmm. One of the other challenges of it, and I have brought this up a lot in conversations about compensation, is that unlike a lot of other types of work, if somebody on the support team takes a vacation, it directly impacts how much work the rest of the team has to do. And so, I mean, I think that that is, you know, I can't just say like, you're doing great, or I can't anymore anyway, but in the past when I was like the team lead, I couldn't really say like, you're doing so great, take the day off, take the rest of the day off, unless I was gonna say, and I wasn't going to work support today, but because I'm giving you the day off, I am going to fill in for you specifically. Like in general, it's really hard. It isn't the same. You know, I used to always compare. It's different with a remote team, obviously, but just as an example, like if the whole engineering team took a day to go play golf, like nothing would move forward, but nothing would, like the world wouldn't end either. Whereas like if we all take the whole day off, if even like a third of us take the whole day off, everything falls apart. So I don't know the solution to that. I mention it a lot in terms of like how you value a team member. And like, you know, compensation is its own thing. But I think that that is the big challenge, is it's not just if you don't do your work, it's not just that your work doesn't get done, it's that it will get done, but other people have to make sacrifices. So I don't know how to solve that one. but I think that is a really legitimate feeling. And other than saying, you should take the day off, and here's exactly how I'm going to make sure that that work still gets done without spreading it to the rest of the team. It can be really hard to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we should run.
Wait,
I think we should run on this for a second, because this is actually like a really enormous question that we've probably like skated around many, many times before. And I don't have an answer to that, but I just wanted to throw out an idea, or how I would think about doing that, is that this is one of those cases where it would be really helpful, at least in my position, it's very helpful that there are really multiple squads, what we call squads, that are all part of customer happiness, right? And as we're evolving and we're specializing, each squad does something different, and one squad is the one that's like general inbox. Like they are the ones that have this fire hose of stuff coming in. And I guess one thing we could do to mitigate a problem like that is to have, when we're kind of built out, right, in this mode, and there's one group, let's say it's like the customer Sherpa group, right? They're the people who they kind of deal more with like a pre-sales context. Let's say that their work is a little bit less like, if you take the day off, everything is just completely screwed up. And it's more like, you know, it's not great, but like we'll figure out a system for how we handle that. Then you focus on cycling people through different groups so that someone isn't on just general inbox for 6 straight months. Because you probably do. You feel terrible about taking a vacation. You drop the ball onto somebody else. You leave everybody else holding the bag or whatever. But if we could cycle people through different groups, then while they're on this other group, right, it's totally maybe easier for them to say, I'm going to take a long weekend, or I am going to like schedule a week off during this whole thing. I don't know. I'm not really sure how to fix that, but I do know that long-term, you could either hire more people, or you, right, like always hire ahead of the problem, or you can find something else.
Chase Livingston, what's Automatic do with this kind of thing? I know you've got squads, but I think like last week when you were working like WordCamp Atlanta, do you feel guilty for like being at the conference rather than like being in Jetpack support?
I mean, you know, you definitely, you know, have that guilt, but, you know, again, we're lucky enough to have, you know, pretty decent team sizes. So, you know, there's 8, 9, 10 of us at any given time working on Jetpack support. So, depending on, you know, the days, you know, there's obviously going to be days where there's more than one person out, but in general, other than like, you know, national holidays, like Carolyn mentioned and a couple other, things like that, we're, you know, pretty well staffed, if one person has like the week off or, you know, takes a day off here and there. There is, I guess, a little bit of guilt, but not so much for us since we, you know, are in the position to have quite a few more people that are still working and taking care of things.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, so, like, with Basecamp size, we're at a point now where, like, I've got to be out tomorrow morning. I'm not going to feel guilty about being out tomorrow morning, even if I do have, like, cases that come in or something like that, just because I think of a lot of it comes to... I was trying to think of a good way to phrase this. So with support people, we tend to have a lot of empathy. So if somebody has to pick up our work, we tend to feel bad, right? It's like we let the team down or something like that. When I took my sabbatical last month, that was any tickets that came in during that month, somebody else on the team would have to cover them. And some of those cases could have been like pain in the ass cases or customers that, you know, maybe I got along with that somebody else didn't or that kind of thing. So it took a while. It took me... Good grief. 2.5 years, maybe 3, I don't know, before I finally got to the point where it was, I trust my team members to know that when I'm taking the time off, this isn't me trying to hurt the team. This is me just taking time off for whatever I got to do. And I think it kind of goes both ways. It's, you know, I'm not going to feel bad when I have to take time off. So they shouldn't feel bad when I take, when they take time off and I help cover for them. But again, it's lots of like, we're hired for empathy. We tend to gravitate, you know, empathetic people tend to gravitate toward this job. So it's kind of tough to put yourself in that mindset of, you know, I'm going to take time off. I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to like check the queue. I'm not going to do anything. But it's a very, like, you have to work at that. It's not going to come naturally. Yeah, again, my 2 cents. all right, so before we wrap up the show and everything else, anything else anybody want to like hit on before we wrap it? See, that's the thing, like when we do remote shows like this, it's just lots of like tapping and nobody saying anything. So that means we can move on. But by the way, let us know what you thought about, you know, taking time off, vacations, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. Hit us up, supportops.co/contact, or you can reach out to us on Twitter. We're at supportops there. Yeah, so all that brings us to my favorite part of each and every week with these ladies and gents. It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy, so happy we want to shout them out from the rooftops and let people know that they should be doing this, buying this, or whatever else that thing actually is. Livingston, since you were out last week, let's go with you first. What's your shout-out?
I guess maybe I'd be a little bit of a cop-out since I was at a WordCamp last weekend, but if you're at all interested in WordPress or, you know, learning more about it or that kind of thing, there's more than likely a WordCamp in your area that's already happening, so highly suggest checking it out. Super affordable and a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of cool people, and they're usually really fun conferences that are put on by locals, so... yeah, check one out if there's one in your area, which there more than likely is.
Awesome. Jeff, what's your shout-out this week?
My shout-out this week is for, I hope we haven't done this one, but we probably have, is for Headspace. Has anyone done it? Nobody else has done this as a shout-out? Oh, yes.
It kind of sounds familiar, but I don't know.
I had a pretty ritualistic meditation schedule there for a while last year, and then like completely, I think I went on a vacation, and when I came back, it completely went away. And the app that I was using for meditation for a while, just they decided to do one of those updates that it turns out is a down date. It's like the worst change ever, and so the app just stopped working for me, and I switched recently to Headspace, and it is it's great. It's just a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more structured, a little bit more guided. So if you like to be, if you just like to not put a lot of thought into it and just kind of follow along with the structure, then that one I think would be helpful for you.
Awesome. Carolyn, what's your shout out?
Okay. First, I have a pseudo shout out for your awesome, no pun intended, about the fact that your band leader drummed something into you. I loved it. I laughed out loud. I think I was muted at the time, though. So I just needed to give you a thumbs up for that. And my real shout out is the health app on the iPhone. So I sadly lost my Jawbone in Sydney. And I'm holding out for the new one. So I've been without my Jawbone for like a month now. But the health app on your iPhone tracks your steps. So it doesn't track everything because obviously I walk around a little bit without my phone. And if I walk on like a treadmill or something, then I don't have that. But it's pretty cool. It shows you the day and the week and all the same stuff that the Jawbone shows you. In terms of steps, not sleep. So I noticed that a couple of people recently didn't know that this existed, so I wanted to shout it out.
Awesome. Mine for this week, Fantastical. You know, I'm sure everybody's used that calendar app before. They came out with Fantastical 2 for your Mac, which was absolutely fantastic. Like, the biggest beef I had with it, I loved it on my iPhone, was really easy and great. Like, it replaced the native calendar app for me there. But when it comes to actually on my MacBook, it was just like, you get this little widget up in the corner, and that just wasn't enough for me to, like, see everything I had going on. So with Fantastical 2, they basically made it a full-fledged Mac app, and kind of, you know, you've got that same full calendar, you know, month view, week view, day view, that kind of stuff. Super handy, syncs with all of, I use Gmail, Google Calendar a lot, syncs with all those, and it's really just painlessly easy. So definitely recommend checking those guys out. Fantastical too. So we'll have that and all the other show notes up over at supportops.co.
Check your show notes, people. Get in there on those show notes.
I will say, so Diana reminded me in the Slack chat, just because I had heard the Headspace app before she shouted it out. So you almost got away with that, Jeff. Almost got away with that one.
That's okay. I just didn't have another one to, I didn't have another shout out to use. I figured somebody else had already, but I didn't have another one handy.
It's not like you don't get like a whole week to think about this, you know?
Yeah, I know. I just always want to shout out my dog Sherman, and then I haven't changed it at the last second.
I would accept that. I would accept weekly shout outs of Sherman. We can have like a whole section.
I would just want to be like, shout out to my dog Sherman because he ate like 4 granola bars yesterday, and I didn't even think that was possible. Like, you know.
I'm not even mad.
All right, so like Jeff said, check the show notes. We'll have those up, supportops.co, and we'll see you again next week, Monday, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Until then, have an awesome week.